Well, it's really good to be back home. Been a very, very busy year for me, and I appreciate the elders allowing me to be gone, and the patience of you as brethren for my being gone so much. And a special thanks to all of those guys that have stepped up and preached and taught for me while I was gone. And I greatly do appreciate that. And most recent, Brad, I think Damon, of course, Kevin and others, Mark, lots of fellows have really stepped up. And I appreciate that so very, very much. The pandemic kind of set us back as far as meetings, and a lot of churches stopped holding meetings, of course, as did we. And now they're trying to make up for a lost time and so forth. And so that's made it really, really busy for me. Also, I'm going about presenting Zimbabwe reports to a lot of churches that are giving lots of money and helping Zimbabwe. So I, again, I appreciate your patience with me being gone. And my wife and I had not taken any R&R for a lot of months. So we took a few days off this past week or so, and got to worship with the brethren down in Pensacola, Florida at Myrtle Grove Church. A little bitty small group, but we enjoyed visiting with them. And we enjoyed eating a lot of fish and shrimp and getting sand between our toes. And so it was refreshing, but it's good to be back home, and it's good to see all of you. And there's been tons of sickness, the WGA flu, bug, all kinds of stuff going around. And but one by one, folks are coming back in, and that's good. And it's really good to be back home. On Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, we've been studying the book of Revelation, and tonight we will continue that, Lord willing, with chapter 11. And I give a little bit of heads up on that Wednesday night, that chapter 11 probably is one, if not the most difficult chapter in the book. So you might want to read that a few more times before we study this evening. And I don't foresee us covering the whole chapter. I would really not like to rush through chapter 11. So we'll take probably two lessons to do that. But come prepare tonight to study that. The New Georgia Church has invited me to come on Sunday afternoons for seven Sundays to do the seven churches of Asia. So some of you may have missed some of those lessons that we were doing here. If you would like to attend there at New Georgia, just across the creek over here, we'll be doing that at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So invite you to come to that if you would so desire. But again, appreciate so much all of you being here. We have visitors. We thank you for coming. It's good to see the members that are here. We appreciate you being here as well. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul, he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice." I don't know how many times I've read that passage and maybe thought this way: why am I not rejoicing all the time? Why am I not rejoicing all the time? And that's a good question I think all of us could ask ourselves. And much of the time, if not 99.9346% of the time, I'm preaching and teaching about don't do that and do this. And it does seem like that Our Christianity is all about do and don't. And we're concentrating on that, and it can be quite intense. It can be hurtful. Nobody likes to hear they're wrong. Nobody likes to hear, do better, do more. Stop doing that. Start doing this. So Christianity can easily become a drudgery. It can become a religion of stress. And that's just not what God intended. Today I want to talk to you for a little bit about the joy of being a Christian. And I am convinced that there may be those who do not become Christians because they look at other Christians and they see that they are not enjoying life. So they gather, or they come to the conclusion that, well, if I'm going to be a Christian, I'm not going to have any fun. Well, I want to have some fun in life, so I won't become a Christian. And there's not anything further from the truth. However, we may not be preaching the kind of sermon that we would really like to preach to people to demonstrate that there is great joy in being a Christian. So, I'm not a psychologist, but I would like to suggest to us that the psychology of the New Testament is good news. We can choose to think about what we can't do, or we can concentrate on what we've been given. And that's a choice. Now, this lesson is not to say obeying the commands of God is not important. But maturity should allow us to move on from it's all about do this and don't do that. It becomes about how blessed we are and the joy of being a Christian. So, the gospel is good news, right? That's what the word means. From the birth of Jesus, when you read in Luke chapter 2, the announcement of the coming of Jesus, when the angel made proclamation to the shepherds, and the angels that the celestial host that sang praise of His birth, to the risen Christ that we read about in Luke 24, that when Jesus died, yes, everyone was sad. When He raised from the dead and He showed Himself to the world, people rejoiced. When He ascended, He left them with great hope and joy. We also understand from the Word of God that Jesus told His disciples, I want you to go and tell the whole world about how you should obey His commands and be stressed out all the time. Wait a minute, I misquoted that, right? It was the good news of the fact that we have such blessings from God, that Jesus came to save us. And when we stop to think about the fact that Jesus did come to save us, that's a good thing. That's a blessed thing that gives us hope. The hope that we have in Jesus Christ should bring great joy to each of us. In the little book, Jude, in Jude verse 24, you may recall that Jude said, now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless, with great joy. We don't quote Jude a lot, but that passage is worth memorizing. Because it emphasizes, really kind of in the nutshell, about who and what we're to be. Ultimately, it is the great hope that we have of standing before God blameless and with great joy. The joy that we will be able to share in heaven. We're given just a glimpse of that in one of the great parables in Luke 15. You recall that Jesus told three parables there. And those three parables emphasize the idea that when the lost coin was found, when the lost sheep was found, when the lost son was found, there's great rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that comes to repentance than over the 99 that need no repentance. So the reality of heaven, quite aware of what's going on here, heaven rejoices when we do what is right. So should we. So should we. Well, the joy of being forgiven is just a given. There should be great joy because we have been forgiven. And maybe when we think back to when we were baptized into Christ, and many of you may have been baptized right here, and when you came up out of the water and every sin was washed away and you knew that, you believed that, you trusted in that. Do you remember how happy you were? Do you remember how excited you were? Now maybe that's kind of worn off. Maybe now that the years have gone by, maybe we've forgotten that we were purified from our sins. Peter talked about that in 2 Peter chapter 1. It's possible to... it's so far in the rearview mirror now that we've kind of forgotten that. But when Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice," I think he had to have in mind the idea of the great joy from the first day the gospel was preached. How that those people changed when they heard the gospel. Acts 2 says, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were touched to their hearts. They realized they had sinned. Peter preaches to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Those that gladly received His word were baptized. There was great joy among the very first, almost 3,000 people that became Christians. We find the same kind of thing happened in Samaria when Philip went there and preached. There was great joy throughout the land. The eunuch, he went on his way rejoicing back home after Philip talked to him about God's great forgiveness. And then there's the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. How greatly they rejoiced because they too were included in God's great plan to be able to be saved, to be forgiven, to have the hope of heaven. Do you remember when you were forgiven? Do you remember how happy you were about that? Don't lose that joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Be happy about that. Now, do you still need to go to church? Do you still need to read your Bible? Yeah. Well, do those things. But allow the blessings that God has given you to be the emphasis of your life. Joy. Just one of the fruit of the Spirit. That joy, we have discussed that a number of times. It's not happiness per se, but it's an inner joy. It's an inner peace. It's an inner feeling. Yeah, it's a feeling. You can feel it. But it's separate and apart from the outward circumstance. What is unique about the gospel of Jesus Christ is that the gospel is referred to as a seed. And that seed that is planted into your hearts produces something. We talk about faith. We talk about trust. Those are awesome words that involves the seed of God. But what we learn from the Word of God as well is that the seed, the Word of God, is a product of the Holy Spirit. And He leads us, He directs us by the Word of God, and that produces something in our hearts. Many people have been Christians for years, and they've yet to ever smile. Brethren, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are not here today in any way diminishing that, but to say the devil, and only the devil, is trying to get you as a Christian to continually be sad about your past, when God, through the blood of Christ, has forgiven you your sins and wants you to have joy. So if you're a Christian and you're still sad, you need to rejoice. You need to rejoice in the Lord. You need to be happy about who you are and what you've been blessed with and given by God. And that really works to a great advantage. When you really, really have that joy in your heart. Remember the little Vacation Bible School song? I got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. That's really important. Because when we live for God, rejoicing, obeying His commands are not burdensome. For so many people, being a Christian is a burden. They have to do this and they have to do that, and we can't do that. Oh, woe is me. And that's not what Christianity is. Christianity is all about obeying God, trusting God, but understanding the great blessing of joy that you have, that is the fruit of the Spirit, and then we produce something. We produce this joy, this love, this peace. This is the fruit that God wants the world to see. God does not want us as disciples to be a light of stress. He does not want us to be a light of burden. He wants us to be a light of joy. And that's difficult. I've mentioned this before in Philippians chapter 4. But the book of Philippians, Paul wrote from Roman prison. It's often referred to as God's or Paul's love letter to the brethren at Philippi. And it's just amazing to me the flow, the tenor, the theme of the whole book of Philippians is this great and beautiful love story, if you will, this joy. And yet the outer circumstances for the Philippians being persecuted and for Paul being in jail, reading the book, you would not get that feeling at all. And I'm trying to suggest to us that maybe we need to concentrate on that a bit more. Because that's what this world needs to see from us, is joy. Not hypocritical, not feigned, not a facade, but real. The joy of being in God's family ought to really, really be an emphasis in our life. The passage in Matthew 12 that we have looked at a number of times through the years still stands out when Jesus talks about who is my family, who is my mother, who is my brothers. And you recall in this great text in Matthew chapter 12, 46 through 50, Jesus concludes by saying in verse 50, "For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother." Now let's make it very, very clear. Is it important to obey God? Yes. When you obey God, are there blessings? Yes. There is the blessing of being a part of the family of God. When we consider the idea that God is our Father, Jesus Christ our brother, and that we are all family together, we learn from Scripture is that we spend our times being a service to each other. Again, we can look at serving our family as a burden. We can look at what we care about, who we care for, being very stressful. But in actuality, it is a great blessing. When we learn that it is more blessed to receive than to give, is that the way it goes? No, we need to learn that it's more blessed to give than to receive. So if we're all into the idea that our family is supposed to give me something, our whole attitude about church, our church family, is that, well, somebody didn't do this for me, and somebody didn't call me, and somebody didn't do that, and somebody didn't give me this, and nobody cared about me. And when that's what it's about, then to you, Jesus said the wrong thing. But Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. So if we as a family understand the family unit, we're talking about the church. We're talking about our group right here. We will have a joy. We will rejoice in the Lord when it's about giving and it's not about receiving. Now, let's step aside. Let's be honest. Do you need to receive? Yes. Does someone need to give to you? Yes. Has God given to you? Yes. So what do you do in turn? You give. And while we do enjoy receiving, but the higher state of joy is not receiving. It's giving. So when a church realizes that, it changes the whole dynamic of the church. There are churches that everyone there believes that they are owed something, rather than we are blessed to give something. You know, giving and receiving is not just this time of year thing. And you of all people, you understand that. This is a great giving church. And I wish I could record for you and play it for you the countless numbers of times that brethren in Africa have been so grateful and thankful for what you do. And you should rejoice about that. You should be happy about that. It's a place of healing and comfort. I've been in the hospital a time or two in my life, and I can't say that I enjoyed that. But when you're sick, I mean you're really sick, and you go to the hospital, you know that's where you need to be, and when they stick you and work, do surgery on you or whatever, it's like, no, I don't want this, but you need this. Well, after you get through all of that, and you're better, and they say you can go home, that's good. Some have related the idea that the church is like a spiritual hospital. You know, we come here broken. We come here sick. And through the encouragement of one another, through the teaching and the preaching of the word, the singing of songs, the prayers that we utter, the very fact that God is in our presence, whatever the level of spiritual illness, this is a place of healing and comfort. And brother and sister in Christ, we must think in those kinds of terms. If this place becomes a place of drudgery, a place of hate, who wants to come? But when it's a place that we know that we can be healed, we may not want the surgery that the sword of God gives us when the word is preached. It may cut us to the heart. It may cause any kinds of pains. But it's going to heal us. It's going to make us better. In our worship and our thanksgiving, when we worship God, we need to rejoice. We need to be happy. We need to give thanksgiving. Someone has suggested that worship without being thankful is null and void. We sing lots of different kinds of songs. But psalms and hymns and spiritual songs are generally, they're directed to God. We're thanking Him. We're praising Him. And there are songs that we ask Him. We plead to Him. But when it's all kind of said and done, our singing, our worship, our prayers are all of us lifting up thanksgiving to God. We need to be thankful. God doesn't need to be thanked, but we need to thank God. We need to be grateful. It is important for parents to teach their children to say thank you. It is important that children learn to be grateful for what they have. But that same lessons we need as well. So, joy includes thankfulness. When you come into this building, and we're assembled to worship God. Whatever prayers are uttered, whatever songs are sung, whatever lesson is preached, by all means, say your own thankfulness to God. This is a place and a time to say, "Thank you, Lord, that I'm here. I'm rejoicing and I'm happy to be here. I'm thankful for these people, my family. We're diverse, we're different. But I'm thankful for everyone." When we enter with that kind of mindset, we certainly then can reflect upon how great God has been to us to give us the family that we have. You recall in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul talks about that we have all spiritual or every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And that's kind of a verse that kind of sums up everything that we're talking about today. Why we should rejoice in Him always is because we have all these great blessings. Look at these big powerful words here. Redeemed. That's a ransom word. That we have been bought with a price. God ransomed us. God sanctified us, set us apart holy. He reconciled us, made us friends again. We were enemies because of our sins. He's justified us. He's declared us righteous when we were unrighteous. And we are sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Those are all great blessings. There are others. So we can come together and we regularly, most usually, do. Come to church, read your Bible, don't cuss, etc. Well, we need to talk about those things. But we need to rejoice in the blessings that God has given us. And if we don't change our lives, we're going to lose our blessings. That's not going to make us happy. But rejoicing in the Lord. May I suggest to us that if the Lord came today, would you rejoice? You see, there are folks here probably that have not been baptized in Christ. Now, we didn't spend the lesson talking about why you need to be baptized, but I think you get the point. Do you want to rejoice at the coming of the Lord? Then do what Jesus said. And when you do what Jesus says, then when the Lord comes, you're going to be happy to see Him. So this morning, if you are in any way needful of your family, God, to change your mourning into rejoicing, we're here for you. Pray with you. Pray for you. Baptize you. Whatever it takes. But you must make the choice. You can be bitter. You can be stressed. Or you can rejoice. Your choice. As together we stand and sing.
God, call again.